Welcome, everybody. It's the Dom and Colin podcast. I am Colin, here with you once again to talk about The Challenge, MTV's The Challenge, quickly moving up the ladder of my list of favorite reality shows that are currently going there. And with me, as always, is the regular crew, at least to talk about this season. Normally, Haley's with us here as well, too, but she can't join us this season for reasons we've already gotten into. But joining us, of course, back with us, first of all, I guess let's bring in Matt Liguori. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I couldn't imagine. I, as you guys know, I have very limited nights off in the summer. I take off my night for Big Brother night, and I take off for the Challenge night. It was originally The Bachelor, Bachelorette. Gave up on that really quick. So I've been making sure every Tuesday night I'm in front of the TV watching this stuff. And then I made sure that the other night that I had, I was here to talk to you guys about the show. Because, like you said, it's been great. It's been fun. And happy to be here talking about it.
Yeah, for me lately, that has been Mondays and Wednesdays. I would always take Wednesday night off for Survivor. And now Maryland, Survivor Maryland airing on Mondays. I always make sure I'm there watching that as well. So I can totally relate to that kind of lifestyle, Liguori. Also here with us again is Brian Scally. Scally, how's it going?
I'm good. Just as happy to be here as Johnny Bananas was when he saw that Tony was his partner.
we're just as happy that you're wearing the turquoise jersey that we have on too, Scally. Great having you back with us. And I know you're someone who has to work late from time to time as well. Do you ever go out of your way to schedule your work schedule around TV?
I would say luckily my work schedule is not a impeding me too badly from the Challenge, but I always make sure I'm home on Tuesday nights, definitely to watch as well.
Yeah, I'm still not at the point yet with the Challenge where I make sure I'm watching live, because I definitely don't want to get spoiled, because that'll like totally ruin it for me. And thankfully, getting spoiled by Twitter hasn't been too big of an issue for me so far this season. But while I'm not tuning in live, I'm definitely always watching it on the DVR as soon as I get home on Tuesday nights, and I'm very excited every time that there's a new episode on. And in particular, this season, which I do have some complaints about, but I've been really liking this season so far. Liguori, have you been into this season compared to how much you generally like the early episodes of Challenge seasons?
I have. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into this, but I feel like it's really, you know, kind of transitioning into a different show. I don't hate it, but it's just different. And I've seen this complaint on various people on different social medias about how it's kind of not like, it's just we're 5 episodes in now, and I think we've had 3 challenges if you count the first one. We've had 2 eliminations. It's just, you know, the whole show is evolving into being about the characters and the storylines way more than it ever has in the past. And you know, whether or not that's a good thing, you know, is based on your personal taste. I like it because I like the storylines and all that stuff. That's one of the biggest reasons that I like these reality shows. But I also don't want us to get too far past the point where, you know, we're actually watching for the challenges. You know, I don't know if that's one of the complaints that you might have similarly that you were just talking about or not. But, you know, so I'm hoping that we do get more challenges. But, you know, since they broke up the format of the episodes where we no longer have, you know, a through line of a challenge and elimination every episode and all that stuff, it's just evolving into this new show. And it's different, but I still like it. And, you know, I'm just rolling with it. And the drama has been fun to watch. The new characters have been fun. The newer ones who are, you know, back for a second season and stuff, they've all been great. So I think the positives have been outweighing the negatives for me.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. I know that was actually the exact complaint that would have been front of mind to me if you had asked me to list one. It would be that we are focusing so much now on the interpersonal drama. And while that is a great aspect to the show, I don't like that we're now in a situation where, has it been 6 TV episodes now, 5 or 6 TV episodes? And as far as I would be concerned, we've still had 2 basically like main match kind of challenges, the 2 that Brad and Kyle won. If you want to try to sell me on everyone digging their partner up as like what some kind of opening day challenge, I guess I will buy that too. But in terms of the challenges that really I think I and many people tune into this show for primarily, we have still been really lacking in that department. And, you know, there have definitely been eliminations and battles back and so forth. It's certainly been, I think at least one kind of challengey thing per episode still, but it really feels like the game is starting to slog for me at this point. Like it's a really slow beginning to the actual development of the game. Scally, where do you come in on that?
I feel the same way. It's funny because I always would say, if you told me on any other show, well, we're going to not pay as much attention to the challenges,
right,
I'd be all in. I don't care about the challenges. Give me the interpersonal drama. Give me, like, how do these people relate, all of that. But then you tell me you're taking away the challenges from the challenge, and I get defensive. I want it back. And so it's been a little frustrating not to see, like, A to Z story structure through every episode, but I'm moving with where the show has to go to stay on the air 32 seasons in.
What do you think? I feel like we're at the point where it's like they're stretching it out so much with the interpersonal drama and all this stuff, where we're literally getting commentary from the players to each other. Veronica saying to CT, you're not actually mad right now, you're just pretending, like, because you know that they have to do this, they have to put on like a little bit of, you know, acting skills and dramatize, is that a word, to make everything bigger than it actually is. Because they know they're on a television show, they're all veterans of being on TV, and they know what they're doing. So the fact that Veronica is literally calling CT out on that, and we're getting that included in the episode, instead of, like, you know, extra challenges, like, you know that that is just the direction they're going in.
To what extent do you think people are dramatizing things for the camera, and how much of this do you think is organic? Because I know, of course, anyway, it's not just on the challenge. Like, I think this happens to most people who are out there early on, particularly in the early days of any season of Survivor. They're very aware of the cameras before they start getting used to them. And whereas on Survivor, I think eventually they stop really paying attention or noticing them for the most part, you know, like your Coach Wade's and Philip Shepherd's accepted. It really feels like characters like that are so few and far between on the challenge. And I do wonder how much of this really is just playing things up for the camera and for Instagram followers and to be brought back on future seasons. How much of this do you think is unreal and not reality TV to some extent, Ligori?
Colin, literally all of it. Like, it's okay. Like, just watch them on social media, and it fires me up every time that I see their tweets to each other, their Instagram posts, the fake drama that they're creating. It's all BS, like complete crap. It's I'm not mad about it. I don't you know, it doesn't ruin the show for me that I know it's all fake, but it's just like the show has completely evolved into like these people that know their storylines and they know their characters, and they know that the way to get asked back for the next season, which there is a lot of competition to get back on these next, you know, get on the next season and the next season. There are so many new people that have been getting introduced with the door open for the UK people and the Big Brother people. There's so much room for other people to get added into the game. And like, everybody has to like hold on to their spot. Meanwhile, Devon wants to hold on to her spot, so she's going at everybody on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Tori wants her spot, and Kayla needs to make sure that she gets asked back, even though she, you know, crapped out in this season. So everybody wants to make sure that they get asked back. So they're just using the Twitter platform and the Instagram platform exactly how they really should be, you know, not because this is how the show should be going or whatever, because that's how production has clearly stated that, you know, we're going to have Brad and Tony come on and be vendettas because of a Twitter beef. We're having Jenna and Amanda, I don't know. There was another one because there was something on Twitter, whatever it was. So everything is just turning into like, who can I fight with now to make sure that there is a storyline for me to come back next season? It drives me a little insane because it just all comes off so obvious that they're doing it. But if you look at the comments on like any of these or the replies to any of these tweets, the casuals / all of the stands out there, they buy right into it. They eat up all the drama, and that's what's making MTV, you know, put this direction on the challenge right now. So I don't blame them for it. It's just it's a lot.
I think I remember for one of the last seasons that I did not watch, like right before I started watching again, didn't Johnny Bananas kind of get himself back into the picture by like faking this Twitter feud with Frank and then day one?
Yeah.
I said that kind of like evolved him into what has obviously, you know, the colossus that is the modern Johnny Bananas. But LaGuardia, I think, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, if you had more to add.
No, you're totally on point. That was the first time that I remember a Twitter feud being brought in as like, this is the reason for this rivalry. And, you know, because as we've talked about on every podcast we've done together, when I watched all of the seasons consecutively, I just remember like watching that and I'm like, wait, you're telling me that we're about to have a rivalry because of a Twitter beef that I've never even seen before? Like, it must have not been that big if I was paying attention to all of this stuff and looking back on all this stuff on the internet of past seasons and stuff. I never saw anything about that. All right, I guess if that's the way we're going. And since then, it's just completely, you know, followed suit.
I don't remember who it was or what season it was, but there was some X's season where they were like grasping at such straws to link people together that like during the intro, as TJ was telling people who their pair was, he like linked these two people up and they were like, we've never even hooked up. And he just goes, eh, that's not what I've heard. It just moves on to the next, to the next pair. Just like, that's what we just roll with that. But it sounds,
I totally know what you're talking
about.
It
sounds
yeah.
to me like almost like professional wrestling, and maybe I'm just saying that because I just put down the first season of Glow on Netflix over the last like 3 days, and it was excellent. But it sounds like these people are just kind of playing characters and hoping to stay prominent enough figures in the audience's mind that there's demand for them, basically. Scally, I don't know if you have anything more to add along those lines or what you think about that.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that I think to a degree, every single person that is cast on this show now knows that they are playing up for the camera. What bothers me is the people that you can see the seams around it. I don't want to see that you're acting, but you won't acknowledge it. Like someone like Bananas, you can see the seams, but he acknowledges the seams are there and he plays them up. Same thing with someone like Angela, but then you get someone like Shane, who is constantly, you know, stirring drama just for the sake of it, but actively denies he's doing so. So it really is like a fine line that they have to walk in order for me to like stay engaged with the show and root for them as characters.
Yeah. Well, we've certainly had a lot of drama in these early episodes, and frankly, it still continues to be the case, even though we've probably lost some dramatic heavy hitters, at least as I would have expected entering this season. But let's start with like the first big blow up just quickly. And I'm wondering if you think there was any degree of theatrics to that fight between Kayla and Melissa in the early days, Ligori.
So annoying that happened, because I was so excited to see Melissa back for another season, and I had, you know, I had hope for the team of Cam and Melissa. I thought that they could have gone far. Melissa showed that, you know, she had some potential. But yeah, I mean, as for the two of them getting into that argument, I have listened to, you know, one or two podcasts from the players on the season about the fight. And they said that it was like, it does sound like it was a genuine fight. Like Melissa was getting in Kayla's face, and, you know, a lot of alcohol was involved, and Melissa started, I think she was the one who started swinging, and then Kayla is going to defend herself. So I don't know how much of that was for the cameras, because I do think that Kayla puts a lot of investment into going onto these shows. And I think if she could have avoided it, she would have not preferred to get into that fight so she could be on the entire season. But it was quite the bang to start the season off with. It was, not good for my draft team, because it was the first of many hits that I took when I lost Melissa. But it was a lot. It was fun.
Yeah. And actually, one thing that I wanted to get to before we started diving into the teams, and thankfully we didn't get too far before I remembered to go back and do this, but quickly I wanted to talk about just the format of the season overall, because I thought it was interesting what they found, the way that that's going to actually play out, where everyone is going to compete in like the main match, and the winner, instead of being like a super power couple where they get to pick who goes into elimination, they're safe themselves and they get two votes, but every single team is always going to be getting a vote in the elimination. And then furthermore, once those votes come in, TJ will reveal which teams got votes. I don't think he gives the exact vote count, but once the majority team has been revealed, then they find out everyone who voted for them, and they pick one of those teams to go into the elimination again. So sorry for right as we were getting into the first big electric moment of the season, putting a total pin in that, but I did think it was very much worth going over, and I know that once we start talking about all of these pairs, we're just going to have the easiest time in the world weaving throughout the all of the drama and infighting and getting around the horn there. So I think before we start with that process, and sorry again for this being so abrupt, I feel like such a horrible podcaster for doing this. But Scally, quickly, sidebar, what did you think about the new format for this season?
Okay, well, so since we've only really seen one round of the format play out, I think we do need to see more in order to ultimately make a judgment. But I like the idea. I like them being able to having consequences for who they vote for. I think that it being on a season where they're playing in teams makes it a little difficult just because there are so few teams to pick from, especially when the winner of the challenge is immune. You end up picking between maybe three different teams that voted you in, especially once we start moving down in numbers. So I'm a little bit worried about that, and maybe the winning team is a little overpowered and then they get two votes and they're safe from the entire elimination round, whether it's being called out or being voted in. But overall, I like that they're mixing it up. I like how they're handling it. And like I said, I like there's consequences for your vote. So I'm willing to give it a couple more rounds before I write it off, definitely.
Yeah, what I really like about this format is that so many of the pairs genuinely do seem to hate each other and be on totally opposite sides of the house. And I think this was illustrated really well early on with Cara Maria and Marie, and also with Natalie and Polly, something pertaining to Natalie and Polly early on as well, where they would love to be targeting totally different sides of the house, and they would also love to be working with various partners that just don't get along with their own partner. And I think in a season with pairs, which is something I generally am not a huge fan of, this, I think, for me, is that best case scenario, where I know we are often set up with pairs who, at least on the surface, hate each other, but that often, you know, from time to time, at least, seems like for many people in the house to not be the case, where in this case, I really do think that the theme is solid, and that the genuine animosity between a lot of these pairs really does add a lot to the political game.
Yeah, I would. It's the part of it that I didn't like as much, or just it's like the air has been let out of the balloon now that they know what the format is now, so they know what's going to happen. So I like the idea of how, okay, so now if you want to take somebody out, or if you want somebody out of the game, you have to take them out. I like that idea. It's a fun, you know, it's fun in concept, and hopefully it's fun watching it play out. I just feel like going forward now that, you know, they'll adjust their strategy or whatever, I don't know if that's going to make people play more reserved or if they're actually still going to go for the shots that they want to take. I think it's interesting, you know, just continuing to talk about the different structures of the game, the fact that we do have mixed teams here with guy-guy, girl-girl, and guy-girl, and the fact that the first elimination of the season was a guy-girl team versus a girl-girl team, and as we saw, you know, the way that they tried to put in an equalizer to make it fair for both teams, I mean, just I was having a freak out after that because I was just annoyed at how blatantly uneven the equalizer was actually in that elimination. You know, if you were watching that and you saw Pauly stretching, like this guy is an athlete, he works out, and trust me, I'm not like rooting for Pauly's success in life in the challenge or anything like that. It's just like it was so uneven to see him going for these blocks that there was like no realistic chance of him ever getting. Meanwhile, Cam is like walking over there like it's, you know, like she's got all the slack in the world to get these things. So that just was annoying to me. So I hope that if there's, you know, if going forward, I don't know, I guess teams can also see that now. Maybe it'll help them make better decisions of who to pick. They can pick a guy-girl team if they're a guy-girl team. I don't know. So there's a lot of different things that it'll be fun to see how they play out. But it's also like, you know, we're not going to get another elimination until September. So who knows when we'll find out.
Yeah, I feel like the gender bias in the challenges has been something that we've talked about in these last couple of seasons where, or at least last season, where they had the men and women competing against each other a lot of the time, if not all in every main match. I've already forgotten how that format was structured. But certainly this most recent episode that we've seen, I thought the Purge Challenge was one of the most obviously like male bias challenges I've seen in a while there. And this is such a high stakes challenge, pardon the obvious pun, that they completely leaned right into there with the literal high stakes for the challenge. I couldn't believe that they would run something so overtly about raw upper body strength to be the Purge Challenge right away there. But it seems like that is going to be a recurring thing, and it doesn't seem like they're even interested in changing that sort of thing. But that will be interesting to see how that plays out. End of sidebar. Sorry about that. Skelly, let's get back into Kayla and Melissa and this early drama. And anything you had to add about that? Or there, I guess I'm particularly interested in the future of each of these two ladies on the challenge. What do you think about how this is going to impact that?
I think that it is more of a question when you're looking at Melissa, but I think Melissa has one more call left in her. She went out early on Vendettas, but she made an impact in, she had one of the more physical female elimination rounds in a long time. So I think Melissa has one more call left in her. I think Kayla has her spot as long as she wants it right now. I don't see them giving up on her at all.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with them.
Yeah, I think Kayla may be kind of in her I don't know why I always compare people to young CT, as if anyone has that kind of upside to have that kind of career trajectory that CT has. Like, he is the exception, basically, him and Bananas, for having that kind of longevity and that kind of character development. But CT, if we will recall, I think got kicked out early of many challenges back in the day, and that almost seemed to help him keep getting asked back.
Yeah, it's like, it's a lot of these people just need to like grow with the game while they're learning the game, while they're trying to figure out if they actually want to win the game. So, and I mean, again, I don't think Kayla wanted to get involved in this fight. I think if she could have avoided it, she would have. But it seemed like there was like, once she started getting shoved, it was like, all right, this is it. It's over. But I think in general, she does try to keep her head in the game. And I understand what you mean. It's like, it's not just, you know, we don't have to be actually talking about CT. He is, you know, his own special thing. But just these players who come on and they start off young and stupid, and then eventually they, you know, grow to be an actual player over time, and they work on their physical game and they work on their social game. And I do think that Kayla will be back. You know, I don't think anyone would argue against that. And whether or not, you know, she'll learn from this, I have to say I feel like she will. I don't know how, again, I think I've said this in the past, I don't know if Kayla's ever winning a challenge. I feel like she just doesn't have it in her. Maybe she'll prove me wrong, maybe she won't, but she's coming back.
Yeah, well, the first thought that I had when you say that is anyone has a shot at winning a team challenge, and I wonder, though, how likely it is that you think we see another kind of big team challenge, not just pairs, but beyond that, anytime soon, because it really seems like it's been, I certainly don't know what the last one was, but I feel like in the at least 10 to 12 seasons now that I've been regularly watching the challenge, I don't think I've seen more than one or two big team challenges, and it's probably been a little while since I have. So Skelly, when is the last time that they did that, and do you think that that may just be something that they're really avoiding at this point?
The last time they did a big team challenge was Battle of the Seasons in 2012.
Well, if you count that as like a big team.
Well,
like, that's what I was thinking, yeah. But I think Collins obviously like, you know, like the big teams.
No, I would count that. And that for the record, I would count that. I feel like Kayla has plenty of, you know, if they're doing four person teams and Kayla's on the season, I feel like no question, I would say Kayla's team has a chance just in the dark.
Okay.
But that, you, so I'm glad that I'm not crazy, because the Battle of the Seasons was the last season I did not watch. I started with whatever season came after that, which I think was Fresh Meat 2.
No.
Or what came after that?
Battle of the Seasons was only like a few years ago. Is he right?
No, it definitely was not.
Okay, I may have just randomly skipped Battle of the Seasons.
Not Fresh Meat 2. No, you're thinking of Free Agents, I think.
Oh, okay. What it is I started with Fresh Meat 2, and I just randomly skipped Battle of the Seasons and never got, because I just like didn't have MTV at that point in my life and never got around to watching it and was told that that's fine, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. You know what's fun being on this side of a podcast where, you know, usually when you're listening and you're screaming at the people that are talking because they can't figure out what you're trying to get to? It's fun being on this side.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is it? And someone's yelling at me right now. sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to, I feel like I was in the middle of asking Scally his take on something and then completely went off in some other direction.
I believe... It was about the when are we going to see another team challenge?
Oh, yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, so my take, I thought our best shot at getting a team challenge was after Dirty 30, around that time. I really thought we were going to get, you know, Real World versus Are You the One, something like that. And then now with the inclusion of Big Brother and X on the Beach and the UK shows, I really question when they're going to be able to come up with a cohesive theme that's going to allow for a team challenge, unless you want to go back to something like a good guys versus badasses, or, you know, fresh meat versus, you know, rookies versus veterans, something like that they could maybe do. I think it's far off, though. I just don't think that MTV loves that direction.
Yeah, I don't know, but if you do follow any of their social media stuff, you see, you would have seen in the past few weeks, maybe a week or two ago, they had like a whole Instagram takeover of like older challenge competitors, and there was like Coral was on there, Mark Long, like all of these like people that we haven't seen in a long time. So I don't know, maybe they are throwing around the idea of like old school versus new school. That would be a lot of fun. I feel like that might be our best chance of getting a team kind of thing, you know, with all these this new blood. And you know, you can still keep Bananas and CT and all those guys involved. They'd obviously been the old school team. So I don't know, I feel like that would be a lot of fun. I think they even put up some kind of like poll somewhere saying like, would you want to see an old school versus new school challenge? So who knows if that's in the cards, but I think it'd be fun.
Have Johnny Mosley come back and host half the challenges, or don't.
Yeah,
or don't. No. Can I just say, Johnny Mosley seems like a cool enough guy. Very odd speaking voice. I've only ever really heard him on like the reunion specials or whatever. But it always stands out to me whenever I see Johnny Mosley on TV. I can't get over his speaking voice. I don't know why.
No, at this point, if you're getting a co-host, you're getting The Miz.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry if that ruins it for you.
No, I mean, The Miz might be on the old school team himself, although he's probably too big for that at this point.
Yeah, he's loving the microphone.
Yeah. Let's go through a couple of these other teams that are sadly no longer with us. And this my next question actually comes back to the idea of just the format of this season. We lost both Brittany and Chuck and Jemmy and Jenna, and I believe it is the case that Jemmy and Brittany came on this season of the challenge, never competed in anything, and were eliminated. What do we think about that? Is the challenge supposed to be fair? Is that a fair shot at a season, or do they have a right to be mad about that?
What do you mean never competed in anything? Like they didn't have anything to do in the game?
I believe they were never dug up out of their graves, and then they never even got to play in the elimination. They just they were just sent home because of the draw.
For Chuck and Jemmy.
Chuck and Jemmy, excuse me, not Brittany.
Right. So, I mean, first of all, that first challenge was just stupid. I don't know. Like, it was a fun looking kind of thing. I've heard also from like one of the podcasts I was listening to that Jenna and Jemmy's like grave was kind of like buried a little bit deeper than all the others. And it's not like, I don't think they were just like saying that to say that. I feel like a couple of the players were all saying that Jemmy's was like the hardest one to get to, which I don't know why they would have ever allowed that to happen, because you have Jenna coming back and you know, you never want to lose Jemmy this early. So this is like the worst case scenario I can think of, that they lost these two this early. It's mind-blowing to me that they're actually gone now, but I mean, are we that upset that we're losing Brittany and Chuck? I don't know.
Probably not that upset, sorry, but it did feel weird to me that you are right, Scally, that it was Chuck, not Brittany, and then also Jemmy, who just all they did in any challenge all season long was lie in a grave and not get dug up, and then they're just out of the game.
Well, I would say with those two teams, I heard the same allegations about, you know, Jemmy being buried about 3 feet deeper than everybody else or whatever the case was. So I do see the idea behind these two teams being specifically good at confessionals and drama and not as good at challenges. So maybe if they were thinking along those lines, maybe they would be the ones to carry the Redemption House early on. But I don't really love the instant elimination at the beginning, obviously. I don't really, if we're going to get into it, I don't love the double cross deciding who gets a chance to come back in the house and everyone else just walks off set and they're done for the day. But it is what it is.
Yeah, Colin, we're talking about Jemmy here. I don't know if Jemmy's going to be the one that starts arguing that she didn't get a chance to show her physical prowess. I mean,
oh, she definitely argued.
she's arguing for her spot in the next season, just like everybody else. Well, and I think that she should always have that spot, because I still am fully team Jemmy. But, you know, I don't know. Imagine she like came onto an interview and she's like, if I was the one digging that up, I would have got. I mean, she probably did. Maybe she did say that because she was talking about how Jenna is so stupid or whatever. But come on, Jemmy, come on.
I did see a little Twitter exchange where Jemmy was complaining about how everyone thought Jenna was going to be the one to drag her down and, oh, look what happened. But also, I mean, Jemmy definitely complained that, it wasn't fair that in the order that they pulled the double cross, because it made certain people more likely to compete, which just isn't how statistics work. But that's fine. It moved along. Jemmy probably figured that out eventually.
Yeah, I mean, can I jump ahead for a second? Like, who do you think production wanted to pull the double cross, like the Big Brother side or like the challenge side in that? Because I feel like they probably didn't get the result they wanted.
Oh, interesting. I would have said the Big Brother side, but maybe I'm being results oriented because of the degree we now have seen Paulie take it to. But I think they know that Jemmy and Jenna are going to be back in the future, and Brittany, probably Chuck, who really cares either way? Whereas the Big Brother people are tailor-made for the periphery of the main game while providing a lot of drama on the outside.
Yeah, it's just hard because it's like these specific people, like Jenna with Zach still in the house and the two of them, you know, coming back together, and then Brittany with the Brad stuff. So I feel like it's they probably were upset to see those two go. But, you know, the beauty of MTV's challenge casting lately is that pretty much everybody on the season can deliver in one way or another. And they didn't cast these four people from Big Brother because they were bad. Like, they're all I don't know about Jose, but the most of, you know, the qualities that these guys bring are what they are looking for.
Yeah, totally. Let's talk about Paulie and Natalie, who were the people who got that double cross, and Paulie made that big move to send Brad and Zach's girlfriends out since he couldn't go directly at them. I was with you guys in thinking that when the four teams showed up, I was really looking forward to the idea of, oh, this is going to be awesome, a four-way battle at the elimination site, whatever it's called, the Armageddon this season, where one of these teams is going to earn their way back in, and this is going to be so cool. And I was massively let down by we show up and it's the double cross and two people just leave by sheer dumb luck. And granted, we did get a lot out of Paulie over the course of both of those ceremonies when they were there, getting to see the rest of the people again. But I don't know if I really loved this kind of format decision. But what did you think, Scally, I guess we can start with you, about Paulie and Natalie and what they've brought to the season, I'll say so far, although I don't know how much longer this is going to roll on for them.
I was really, really surprised not to see them go in early, but to see them out of the game so quickly. I thought they had longevity. They were bringing a lot to the show. Both seem like they are, you know, fairly involved in this world and excited to be part of it. So I did not see this coming whatsoever. Again, like Matt said, it has to do a little bit on the unfair balancing of the elimination probably. But I think they both brought a lot. I think Paulie probably isn't playing to win this season, but to come back in future seasons.
Yeah,
just like most other people are. And it's just as valid, because what was their shot, really?
I think that's right. Spot on. Yeah, sorry. Ligori, go ahead. What do you think about how Natalie and Paulie have shown up for this time around?
I mean, as soon as we saw the casting of Paulie Calafiore on the challenge, we all like collectively like understood and agreed that, yes, this is the right spot for Paulie to be if he's going to be on reality TV. This, you know, like he's a pretty trashy person, and you know, that's, he's finding a nice home for himself on MTV. Natalie, you know, she did well for herself last season, just by, you know, everybody liked her. She was winning some of the main challenges. She was she had, you know, her social connections with different people. Obviously, there was the bananas thing. It seemed like she became friends with Kara, and that like carried into this season. So that's why I felt so good about them. Like, I really don't want to talk about the draft any more than we have to. But I picked them as like early on as I took them both in because I felt so confident about. I was like these two are gonna work well. They're gonna be great in competitions. I mean, I did not expect that we'd be at the point where Natalie is now 0 for 3 in her elimination record. You know, I was like, she has Paulie by her side. Paulie is a beast of an athlete. Like, I really can see him, you know, carrying the two of them. I don't know. I'm very surprised at how things have turned out. But in terms of Paulie being what he is, like this character of Paulie, like yelling at the guys and taking the girls out and whatever, like all of this stuff, it's exactly what they cast him for. And he was very quiet on the on X on the Beach. Like, if anybody watched that, I don't know what they were hoping for him on there. But again, like, that's not really a Paulie show. Like, you know, if we want to exploit all of the shitty things about Paulie, where he's, you know, awful with all of his relationships, of course, that makes sense why he was on there. But like, the challenge is the perfect place for him to reside as a reality TV person. So I think they got it right bringing him on, and I think he will be back, and regardless of what happens.
Yeah, I was not someone who was high on Paulie entering this season. I was impressed by Natalie last time, but I was low on this team just because I've seen Paulie Calafiore interact with other human beings for 10 minutes, and I did not think that was going to go so well for him inside the challenge house. And I'm with you. It seems like Paulie is giving MTV at least exactly what they want, and I would very much question at what detriment to himself he is giving them this, but it seems like he's on board and is happy to kind of play this role. And I think it seems like to kind of half borrow something you just said, Liguori, it seems to me like he's trying to be trash Wes, basically, where he's trying to knowingly be the villain and know that he's going to be the underdog, where probably the majority of the house is going to dislike him. But that's still a position I think Paulie in particular almost thrives in like in his own mind. He feels like having all the haters out doubting him is the best thing he could possibly ask for to fuel his motivation and just makes him want to win even harder. And I really do think that as much of a complete piece of shit as Paulie seems like in real life, I think he's going to deliver in that capacity on the challenge potentially for a long time.
Absolutely. It was a big miss of mine to think that the two of them could do well, because like I said, I put a lot of faith in Natalie and using her relationships to bring the two of them in. I don't know why I thought Paulie might be on some good behavior to like just follow behind Natalie and let her do all the work. Clearly that wasn't the case. And then, you know, the whole Kara and Paulie thing started. But I mean, if you just think back to like one of the main things he's known for from his season of Big Brother, the big fight in the jury house between him and Davon and like all the other girls that were in the jury house at the time, he's there for the big blowups in the confrontation. So, you know, again, fail on my part thinking that something was there, but again, like we keep saying, he's doing what they want him to.
Yeah, it's understandable, I think, in the moment. Scally, what do you think about Natalie's future as a player on this show? Like, let's just say hypothetically Paulie and Natalie hang out in the Redemption House for a while, but either don't get back into the main game, or if they do, are not there for long. Is Natalie someone you see them continuing to call back?
I think Natalie's good. I think that she brings a lot of what they want to the show. She's not bringing drama, but she'll be there for, she's good at competition. She's really likable. She'll flirt. She'll hang out. She's pretty. They'll call her back for sure.
Okay.
And we're getting to know more about her now with, you know, we had that whole scene about her opening up where after Kaylee outed her and all that stuff. So you can tell that MTV is putting the time into Natalie's story. So they are very happy keeping her around, I think.
That's a really good call. Yeah, I think you are spot on with that it seems like they are investing a reasonable amount of screen time in Natalie and showing a lot about her. And I would imagine that the average person who didn't know Natalie from Big Brother and is just watching her on the challenge, I'm guessing pretty much across the board, most people really like Natalie, even though she is most closely associated with Paulie at this point, and still seems totally down to just completely stick by him. As bad of an idea as that probably seems to pretty much everyone else.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Yeah, let's talk about the other Big Brother team, who is now actually back in the main house after getting out of the Redemption House. Jose and Davon, who, again, like Paulie and Natalie, I was also not high on these two in our preseason draft, so my bad on that, I suppose. But what have you been making so far, Ligori, of Jose and Davon here on the challenge this season, which still to me is a sentence I can't believe is actually real.
Can we just talk about how Davon has a 100% win rate on eliminations? You know who else does not have that? Cara Maria, CT, Bananas. These guys don't have 100% elimination win percentage, whatever. I don't know how to talk like that. I cannot believe that Davon and Jose have an elimination win under their belt and we're in like the very early parts of the season. Like if you pulled a million people about will Paulie and Natalie or Jose and Davon win in a elimination on MTV's The Challenge, and anybody told you Davon and Jose, I wouldn't believe them. They'd be lying. It's insane to me that that happened. I think a lot of that has to do with Natalie's really poor performance in that challenge. Everyone was saying that it was cold and it was, I don't know if it was raining or whatever. But Jose and Davon pulled that through. Davon has been perfect for, again, you know, just like Paulie, like what she's been cast for. She's been great in the confessionals. She's going to continue to be great in the confessionals as long as she's there. And Jose still can't swim. So that's Jose and Davon for you.
Yeah. Davon, for me, we haven't got to see a ton of her, but I love that it does seem like they're making a deliberate effort to really showcase just how great she is in the confessionals and with the reaction shots. I would say out of the four Big Brother players, it is easily Davon for me as the number one person that I would most want to see back on a future challenge there. And I do think you are right that no one would have thought that they would beat Paulie and Natalie in a heads-up elimination, but I really think that is another perfect example of a challenge that, you know, obviously these are two gender-balanced teams, but that challenge where they have to pull the sledgehammer through the thing, 100% just comes down to whichever team has the lightest person is just completely screwed if it's guy and girl pairs.
It's just amazing to me. Sorry, I agree with you. It's just amazing to me that that Big Brother and CBS let Davon go. Like, I don't know what they could have done to prevent this, because Davon is now in the challenge world and they will call her back as much as they want to, or as much as, you know, I mean, she's getting in, like I said, she's getting in all these Twitter beefs. So it will be again. It will happen again. I just cannot believe that CBS let her go. That's insane to me.
Yeah. Scally, what do you think is the best case scenario for Jose and Davon over the rest of this season?
I think that I like actually what Jose and Davon are doing, and they're very self-aware. They are not there to compete in the challenges on a day-to-day basis, and they know that. That's no problem. So Davon and Jose are going to stir up the house as much as they can. It might be terrible for future seasons, but that's fine. As long as they're here for a couple more weeks on my TV, I'm happy about it. So I think they're trying to play Big Brother in a challenge house, which might not work for them. But given the setup of the season where you can only go into a challenge if you are voted in or if someone picks you for an elimination, I could see them throwing their vote away over and over so that they are not the layup team that gets pulled in.
Yeah, you're the expert on being team layup this season, at least as far as the draft is concerned. Do you think they have team layup upside?
That's rude. Yeah, they do. Obviously, now that the CT and Veronica, who have been calling themselves Team Layup since episode one, are now, you know, in the Redemption House. But I mean, honestly, it's weird. We've been hearing that phrase from like a couple different teams. Like Tori was talking about how her and Derek are also Team Layup. There's a couple of weak competitors in there still. So I don't know. I feel like a couple of them could be filling that role.
Yeah,
Faith and Angela.
Yeah, CT and Victoria.
Victoria.
I thought...
Who's Victoria?
Veronica. Sorry.
How dare you?
Sorry, it's 11:30 at night. I'm sorry. It's just a quick inside baseball on this podcast. CT and Veronica, I thought were hilarious talking about being team layup. And, you know, these are people who are truly legends of the challenge and are now, it seemed like truly, you know, watching that most recent episode, I really couldn't see that challenge going any other direction, right? Other than Veronica letting CT down, the way that that was built up. What did you think, Scally, of CT and Veronica? I'll say so far this season, but I'm going to cautiously say that they're probably not going to be my front runners to be making it out of the Redemption House and be putting another good bid in this season.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame Veronica.
Her name's Victoria, by the way. Please get it right.
So I can't blame V for not wanting to work out all the time and wanting to drink white wine. But I just don't get – I don't know how long Veronica's actually going to be coming back on these shows. She's one of my all-time favorites back in the day. But I think we're starting to lose a place for her. And I'm not having much faith. Even if they do manage to make it back in the house – I don't see them making it much further. I definitely don't see them winning a final. So not optimistic about their chances at this point.
I thought one of the funniest things all season long was CT talking about his master plan to get Veronica and Marie to start punching each other in the head so he can be partners with Kara.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't happen, but if he could have pulled that off, it's I feel bad for CT because obviously he got put in a crappy situation here with probably the weakest player in the game. I don't know if I'm looking at the board right now. It's
Derrick Henry says hi.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, what did he get on at least one or two stakes? So, you know. Victoria is not not the greatest partner CT could have asked for, but you know what? I've seen Frank and Zach pull Sam kicking and screaming and crying across the finish line before, so it can be done. It's just, you know, they got also a crappy situation here with the purge or whatever we're calling. I guess we're calling it a purge, the instant elimination in this challenge. So, and like you said, it was really set up for a guy. Guy team to win, or, you know, the more athletic females. Kara obviously did great in it, so it didn't look like the two of them ever had a chance to make it out. But it was nice to have a little bit of the two of them having a storyline, I guess, in this episode, because I feel like we do put so much focus on these new kids. So just to have, you know, I think we flashed back a little bit to some older clips of them, if I'm remembering correctly, and just to have a little backstory on CT and Veronica, since, again, like Scally said, I don't know how much longer Veronica is going to be doing these. I personally don't think that she should be doing them much longer if she wants to, you know, kind of have some reputation behind her. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just go ahead and blame Survivor Maryland and having Victoria on the mind for that one. So yeah, the CT, I'm really looking forward to just having them on the show for as long as I can reasonably expect them to be there, but I don't know how long that is, frankly. I would be pretty surprised at this point if they make it through whenever the next Redemption House challenge is.
You know what? I mean, Natalie is
and
just
I was
going to
say, if they don't draw double cross specific, no one's picking CT to go against, so they're going to walk off set. So CT may as well call it a day and go home right now.
Yeah. All right. So there is CT and Victoria officially in the books. So let's talk through the rest of the players that are still in this game. And I know we've already hit on Jose and Devon a little bit, but the way that I'm looking at the rest of these teams, I've gone through and I have kind of sorted them into – I've like power ranked them in honor of you, Matt Liguori. I've kind of put them into tiers, not necessarily a hard list of one through however many, one through 10 or whatever, maybe 11. I'm having a hard time counting this on the fly. But I've put them kind of in tiers, and I think it would be make at least not the worst idea to start at the top with the teams that I would say are the front runners at this point. And I have two teams in this tier. I don't think anyone's going to be surprised about what those two teams are. I'm talking about Bananas and Tony and Brad and Kyle. And I want to start actually with Brad and Kyle, who have won, as I referenced earlier in the podcast, both of the last two kind of main matches, and is for my money, like the only two real main challenges that we've seen so far this season. And Scally, I remembered Brad from back in the day, whenever it was that he came back for the first time again, either last season or slightly before that. But you, at the time, were much higher on him than I ever would have imagined, and it obviously paid off pretty well last season. He made a pretty deep run, and now he and Kyle are off to a phenomenal start here. He is once again your first overall pick in the draft. What have you been making of Brad, and I guess Kyle by extension, and this team, and how well-poised they are at this point?
What I would say about Brad and Kyle is that Brad came in, I think he's 37 this year, and he's bigger and in better shape than when we saw him back in the day on the challenge. And Kyle made it to what, the Final Four last season, even as a rookie. So I was pretty high on them coming in just initially. And I think it's bared out that they're in a really good spot, despite not having many obvious social connections that you might have seen right at the beginning of the game.
What do you think about where they stand as a pair, Liguori? Does this strike you as a team that is, in the heat of any kind of competition, going to get at each other's throats? Or do you think that they're going to be able to work as one of the more cohesive units?
Absolutely, a cohesive unit. They have no beef between them. The only reason that they're even, you know, a vendetta or whatever we're calling them for the reason that they're paired up is because one of them threw the other in or something stupid. So there's no tension between these two. This is like, even with Tony and Bananas in the game, especially because Tony and Bananas have some, you know, tension between them, I think Brad and Kyle are the team to beat here. And like Scally said, they don't have, you know, tons of connections around the house, but it's like, I just don't see any, especially with the format that we have right now for these eliminations. Like, if you vote someone in, you better be ready to take them out. Who is voting in Brad and Kyle to say, yes, I'm standing up to take them out? Like, Shane and Nelson is like the only team on the board that I can see being like, oh, like, we'll take the challenge because Shane wants the attention and Nelson thinks he can actually do it. So that's where I'm at.
Scally, would you have Brad and Kyle at number one in your power rankings for the challenge at this point, or would you have Bananas and Tony over them, bearing in mind that you know, at the end of this season, it's not about who wins our fantasy draft and who won the most main matches along the way. They're going to have to run some sort of final.
Yeah, I'm not sure how Brad will do in a final. We haven't seen him. Kyle did struggle a little bit in terms of, I mean, I know, didn't he just quit smoking? And he, you know, came in as a really hard partier up until the point that he actually now is just starting to train for challenges. So I think Bananas and Tony probably have at least a couple of years of training on the both of them since Brad was out of commission for a little while. But I think that they're definitely one and two. I might give the slight edge to Brad and Kyle just because I think I have a little more faith in them making it there at this mm-hmm. point.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense where, and I may actually be on board with that myself. And if I'm told, okay, they're going to be in the final against Bananas and Tony, I would say, give me Bananas and Tony. But, you know, gun to my head, someone, as things stand after a couple of eliminations, needs to be your winner pick. I think there is a very strong case to be made for Brad and Kyle having that easiest path to the final at this point and then being a solid contender pretty much regardless of who they're up against. Let's get into that other team that we've been touching on as the other kind of big, heavy hitter, obvious front runner in the form of Bananas and Tony, and obviously not a new spot for Johnny Bananas to be in by any stretch. Scally, what do you think of how Bananas has gone? What are you making, I guess, of Bananas 16.0? whatever number this is. I'm sorry, I'm just pulling a guess out of thin air there, but I don't think I'm off by much.
I think it's 17. I wrote it down last time.
I thought I was going high, but apparently not.
It's 17.
I think, you know, Bananas, who is always turned, like, his producer brain is always turned on. He's always setting up everything with his puppet strings. Even he couldn't hide, like, the elation on his face when Tony ran in his partner. Mm-hmm. So I think they're set up really well. I don't think this is really going to be a real vendetta even past this season, which is a little disappointing. I think it would have been fun probably to see one or two seasons where Bananas and Tony really are on opposite sides of the house. But in terms of how they're set up to do as a partnership going forward, I think they're, like I said, number two in the house.
They're going to benefit from that same thing that you brought up about Brad and Kyle, which is, everyone loves the idea of Tony and Bananas being eliminated from the game, but when it comes time to cast your vote and you know that podium's going to light up if they get the majority on them, I think that's when the coalition of the willing starts to dry up a little bit, knowing that you're going to have to face them in elimination, potentially. Liguori, what do you think about Bananas and Tony this time around and where they stack up and how they're going to be able to navigate politically through this kind of field where it does seem like Bananas has substantially fewer friends than in most of the seasons he's played?
He might have fewer friends, but there's always that, you know, it's Bananas. And, I mean, Kara's still there, so it's not like he's completely friendless, even though CT, you know, left this week. I think it's always going to be tough for somebody to grow the balls to put Bananas in. Tony did it last season, but it was like he had so much pressure on him to like to be that player after like everybody's been saying for so long that you're just in Bananas' shadow, and it was a storyline that he needed to put himself on top of. So I don't know. I feel like they're in a good spot here. I don't know how much faith I have in Tony to take it home after last season. We were like, all right, this is Tony's season. It's Tony time. He's gonna go all the way. And then the final came around, and he like couldn't run like faster than all the other guys. Like, he just completely shit the bed. So that was Tony's performance last season. And Bananas is still having a hard time getting back to a final since the whole time, you know, the him and Sarah win. So I don't know. I mean, again, on paper, looks great. In reality, I don't know how far they're going to get. Also, you know, something to note while we're talking about Bananas, as anybody might have seen on social media, he's getting like a new talk show or something. So any chance this is like Bananas' last challenge?
Wait, what? He's getting a new on MTV, I assume?
Not on MTV. I don't even know. It's called First Look TV. I don't know if that's on another network. I don't know what that's on. But he has like his own talk show coming out sometime soon. He's like filming promos for it in Paris or something right now. So I'm just like in shock. Like I'm very excited for it because I like Bananas, and I think that that's like a great spot for him to, you know, be like if he's moving on past the challenge. But I just can't imagine a challenge without Bananas, and I don't know if that's where we're heading.
Is he going to continue going by Johnny Bananas as he's the host of this talk show?
I would assume so.
Yeah, all the branding around the show has Johnny Bananas. I think they probably even have a banana logo. What I think it is that it's either on CBS or NBC, I can't remember, but I think it's an established, like, very late. I think it's Saturday nights after SNL. So NBC, because it's Saturday nights after SNL. And it's an established sort of talk show, not to go too far into it, but established sort of talk show where they'll bring in a host for one or two seasons who will go ahead and explore whatever they want them to explore, whether it's guest or going and, you know, going around some village or town or whatever it is. And I think they've brought in like Bachelor alumni and stuff like that to do it in the past. So they usually like go this direction, but it's still huge for any MTV, you know, cast member to be the lead talk show host on any major network.
That's incredible. Right. Yeah. And Bananas, I'm with you. I think that is a perfect kind of setting for Johnny Bananas to really come across as his more charming side and his less diabolical side, because I do think he has obviously a ton of charisma, and I think people would be really drawn to seeing Johnny Bananas host a talk show.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't watch talk shows, and I would watch that one, so
yeah.
I'm excited for it if it's happening sometime soon.
So let's mix it up here. Let's have some fun. Skelly, if I were to ask you, Tony and Bananas and Brad and Kyle are off the board. Who is your pick out of the remaining teams to be the front runner?
This is easy.
I think you got to go Zach and Amanda here.
Okay, I agree that Zach and Amanda are one of the candidates. I thought the reason I sent it to you, Scally, is because I thought you might say Joss and Sylvia, because I know you've been high on them since their rookie seasons as well. And these are the two teams, those Joss and Sylvia and Zach and Amanda, that are in kind of my next tier as well. So let's dive in. I guess let's start with Zach and Amanda, since that was the team that you ended up picking. What are you liking so much out of Zach and Amanda so far this season? Or is it just I'm not seeing them freak out and have dramatic blowups, and they're holding their own in the challenges, and that's all you need to do in Zach and Amanda's spot?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think, like the top two teams we've said, who's looking at Zach and saying, I want to challenge you to an elimination round. Amanda has proven, you know, on that last main challenge, jumping around in the air, that she can make it to the end even on her own. So she's no slouch. I think that they both can run. I really think that they have a good shot at this game, whereas the next team we're going to talk about, they're great, they're physical, they're everything, but I don't know if they're set up as well socially.
Okay. Liguori, you said, I believe you said it's something like a no-brainer that Zach and Amanda are the next pick.
Yeah, and I was a little low on the two of them going into the draft that we did. I wasn't sure how I was feeling about Amanda, because I do feel like, you know, she can be somebody who gets herself involved in the drama a lot. But I mean, a couple people pointed out to me that, you know, maybe I was not giving her enough credit, and I have to say, a few weeks in, that I feel like I probably wasn't giving her enough credit. I feel like she probably can put her head in the game when she wants to. I feel like she's got a good partner by her side. I haven't seen a whole lot yet that's indicating that she's there to, you know, cause drama. I feel like, if anything, she's just been giving us some great confessionals, which I love, because I really like Amanda as a character on the show. And, you know, all of her lines in the confessionals have been great.
Yeah.
But as for, you know, the challenge side, well, are we even talking about, like, the challenge side of this? Are we still having challenges in the show?
I've heard that they may come back at some point in the future, but I don't know.
It's funny, because I'm like, are we talking about the challengers, or are we talking about, you know, just the, I don't know. But yeah, they're one of the more physically intimidating teams. It's hard to count Zach out. And I don't know. As for Joss and Sylvia, they just haven't even been on the show, so I don't know what to say about those two.
That's a very fair point as well. And again, they're not the more dramatic types, and they're not probably the bigger personalities, them being Joss and Sylvia. But you are right that, you know, an eventual winner would probably be getting more than substantially more than they have gotten to this point, even though what I've seen from them I very much like. But Skylar, before I ask you about Joss and Sylvia, and I think it ties into just this whole question of this second tier and frankly the rest of the house, I have my number locked in, and I'll start with you, Skylar, but I want to hear yours too, Liguori. What combined equity would you give Bananas and Tony and Brad and Kyle for one of those two teams being the winner of this season?
Wow. I would probably, I'm looking at the other teams on the board. It's still early. I might go with like 45% though.
Liguori?
Probably somewhere around there.
I feel, I don't know. My gut's saying like 60%.
I am going.
So like, what? What are you going?
I'll give you a elaborate if you want to.
No, I really was. I was just. I feel similar to Scally. I feel okay. Like I'm way too hesitant to give it like that high. But
okay, I am not.
You're not.
I'm ready to put this on the record. I am saying those two teams have a combined 90% win equity.
Whoa!
Yeah, we're going high. We're going.
It wouldn't be a Colin Stone take if it
that's
wasn't
right.
That high,
yeah, so. I mean, anything under 90 would be just embarrassing for me to even show up to the next podcast.
Yeah. Well, someone write the timestamp down, because that's gonna play.
Yeah, right. I can see where you're coming from. You know, it's a very fair take, even if I still think you're a little high. But I don't know. It's just really hard to tell with this season, with the format that they have, and with I don't know, all the stuff they have going on. I don't know what's gonna happen. So yeah. It's hard to make a prediction.
Anything can happen, obviously.
Yeah, no, I know. I just feel like this season in particular, it's like, and we've only seen 5 episodes with like a half a challenge, so it's hard to see what is. I don't know.
Oh, actually, one thing that just crossed my mind, because I'm rolling through trying to come up with what challenges certain, you know, particularly Brad and Kyle and Bananas and Tony, like, would be really poorly set up for if they show up and fill in the blank is the main match. And the first thing that crossed my mind was gross food. And I realized Tony, I mean, not only are they not going to be thrown off by that, to me, whenever the gross food challenge invariably pops up, I'm counting that as a win right now for Tony and Bananas.
Yeah. So, that saying, what did he eat? What did he eat last season or 2 seasons ago? There was like a disgusting amount of whatever he was eating that I don't even want to think about.
I think it was, he ate like a bowl full of mayo or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Oh,
ugh.
Yeah, disgusting. I wouldn't eat a spoonful of mayo. I hate mayonnaise. So, yeah, anyway.
As much as the ketchup and Jemmy? You hate it that much?
Yeah. Skelly, what do you think about Joss and Sylvia? I know we talked about them not being super visible, but in terms of what they bring to the show as a team and how far they potentially could go, where are you at on them?
I'm high on them in terms of their equity to win a challenge on a daily, in terms of winning an elimination. I think they're pretty good. In terms of what they're bringing to the show right now, virtually nothing. I think Joss really lucks out from having an elimination like he did last season. It's probably good for at least another invite or two, but if he doesn't have a couple moments on the show, I really don't know why they're bringing him back at a certain point.
Yeah, he's got to find someone to hook up with pretty soon.
He is
with
you watching the show?
I, you're completely right. I am, and I have now spaced. That came out of nowhere to me. That popped up. Wasn't that just in the most recent episode? And I feel like that came up for like 5 minutes and was never acknowledged again.
It was brought up in the first episode, and then again in the last episode.
Oh, I totally forgot about it in the first episode then.
Yeah, no, it's been really like there's so many storylines that are ahead of it right now in terms of getting visibility. But I mean, he's trying. I don't know if it's succeeding, but he's trying.
You're completely right. I totally spaced on that. But you're dead right. So I've just been interested in tracking, I guess, Joss and Sylvia, just because Scally has seemed so high on them in both of our preseason podcasts that we've done where they were involved. But I feel like Brad and Sylvia for me have really become like the signature Scally players as far as the draft teams generally go. And for me, I feel like the only person that I've really developed at this point as like my signature player, I frankly could not be any happier about. And that for me is Cam, who I've had both of her seasons on my team. And now she finds herself here with Kaylee, who was not her initial partner. But where do we think Cam and Kaylee stack up here among the rest of the cast? Because I feel like they're certainly going to be in any kind of given challenge, and it can compete in any kind of elimination. But I don't imagine either of you guys has them as one anywhere near the top of your like winner rankings come end of season time. But where do you think Cam and Kaylee are ultimately going to play out? Like where they're going to fit into things as after this season all plays out, Scally?
Yeah, I think that this team is really going to come down to how are the other eliminations balanced again. I think Cam can hold her own in basically anything they throw at her, but Kaylee is still a big question mark to me. I will say this season, I feel much just as strong as I did after her. I did watch her Big Brother UK season and was definitely not a fan, and I feel like that has definitely come to fruition this season. So I feel a little validated there, but I don't know that they're set up the best either socially or competitively for the final.
Yeah. Liguori, what do you think about that?
Yeah, for a final, it's hard to see them even getting there, let alone doing well. But I mean, I would say that I'm pleasantly surprised so far with Kaylee. I feel like despite the fact that, you know, I have my gripes with the first elimination with, you know, the disadvantage that, or, you know, the equalizer, whatever it was. But I feel like Kaylee held her own. She did that puzzle much calmer and faster than I would have expected. It seemed like the two of them were working together well. Cam was giving her some instructions and Kaylee was responding nicely. And Cam, there's no way you can count Cam out in any scenario going forward with anything. She's now 4 for 4 with eliminations. Like there's nothing she can't do. She named herself Killer Cam. Like that's for a reason. And you know, I wouldn't pick her to go into an elimination no matter who my partner was. So I feel good about Cam, and if Kaylee can continue working well with her, I don't see any reason why these two can't at least go far, if not all the way.
I know there was a time where Laurel was 9-0 or 10-0 or something like that in eliminations. Has Laurel ever lost an elimination yet?
Yes, it was Invasion of the Champions. It was the only time that she hasn't, you know, made the final. It was she lost that elimination.
Okay. And against, I did watch that. Like, I cannot stress enough for anyone who is not a regular listener of these podcasts, I am a filthy challenge casual, as I feel like I've clearly demonstrated over the course of this the last hour and a half or so.
Yeah, Victoria agrees.
Yeah, thanks. But my point I was getting at is it feels like Cam could put in, as far as I'm concerned, a pretty serious bid to rack up one of the most impressive elimination records over, you know, assuming she's back for several seasons. I feel like Cam is just at the beginning of being a real force to be reckoned with, finally, a real force to be final reckoned with here on the challenge. I do, though, worry about her just being in a pair season, and in particular with Kaylee, when they are potentially going to be facing co-ed teams or guy-guy teams. I don't know how optimistic you can really be about their long-term prospects there, but I very much am looking forward to having Cam back for a long time coming and drafting her as often as I can.
I want to see the Cam versus Carr elimination. I want to see the Cam versus, you know, I they're not on the season, versus the Camilla versus the Laurel. Like, I want to see her with the tough competitor. I mean, not that she's faced, like, you know, weak people so far. Like, she's had some challenges cut out for her, but I want to see her go against the best. Like, that's why Laurel lost that elimination. She lost against Camilla because you know, and it was a elimination that was suited more to Camilla's strengths, you know, like weaving in and out of that rope with the big box, whatever it was. But I want to see her go up against like the big dogs, and I feel like, you know, there's still potential that could happen this season. Plus the Cam versus Tori thing, there's something some kind of rivalry there, because they were both, you know, the rookie of the season in their respective seasons, and now they're both here, so I feel like that could be a fun matchup if we get there at some point.
Yeah, I feel like if you tell me Cam and Kara are going to go do a one-on-one elimination, I think I'm taking Cam. Scally, is that crazy to you?
I think it is, because I think Kara is just – she knows these games. She knows, like, a lot of the ins and outs. I think she has a more balanced skill set. I think Cam has talked about on other podcasts how she came in basically to the challenge with – this is her – base skill set. She hasn't really worked out, like, coming in. She hasn't trained at all. She hasn't worked on, like, agility, anything like that. So I think Cam is a force to be reckoned with in the future, but I think I still might give the edge to Cara Maria as we stand.
To me, it just comes down to the same reason that I would say Laurel is the pick for me in any elimination against any person she's competing against. I would say Cam has the same thing going for her, and they say this about a lot of athletes. Very crucially, you can't teach size, and Cam seems to be about 5'10", and Kara seems to be about 5'6", 5'7", or so. I feel like in a random elimination, just realistically, I feel like that gives Cam a pretty big edge. But you are right that Kara obviously no slouch and has a huge experience advantage, so that could be a really fun elimination, to like a fan fiction kind of elimination for a future season that would be a really exciting one to see go down. Let's talk about Kara and her teammate, Marie, who I guess we haven't seen a whole lot from Marie specifically this season, but what we've seen from Kara seems to be her caught up in a lot of drama as things pertain to Kyle, and then, of course, Pauly Fiore trying to get back at Kyle. Liguori, what are you making of how Kara's been behaving and performing this season?
I am just having the time of my life watching Kara and Marie every week, like, regardless of like sometimes they're fighting, actually all the time they're fighting, but, you know, I don't know why I'm enjoying it so much. I don't know if it's because, like, I like we were saying earlier, a lot of this feels like they're doing it in a forced way, especially with the stuff on social media, and they've been on social media a lot with continuing this rivalry, and a lot of, you know, on the season as well, just going back and forth. I don't know why I'm enjoying it so much, but, you know, Kara is always going to be Kara. She's always going to be like a beast of a player, and it's, again, like, kind of like the bananas thing. I still feel like people in general are going to have some hesitation before they say Kara's name, so I feel like the two of them are going to, like, this is why I picked or why I was feeling good about them during the draft podcast, that I just feel like the combined strengths that the two of them have make for, like, a decent team, not the best team on the board by any means. But when you combine, like, the very few strengths that Marie has in terms of, like, social game and having some other friends in the house that she can, like, use as protection, I feel like there's something there that I don't know, that maybe it'll push them through a little bit farther.
Has anyone ever done less to get a better partner than Cara Maria? As in Marie is the one doing very little to get a great partner in the form of Cara Maria.
Right. No, yeah, good call.
I it's certainly in my very limited memory of my limited challenge Rolodex that I can roll through. I can't really recall someone like Marie seeming to just come up after not really making a major dent in any season that I can remember to this point, at least as far as like going deep and performing too well, winding up with someone like Kara, like one of these all-time greats who's, you know, defending champion at this point, coming through and luckboxing that as the partner. But it really does seem like on the opposite end, just a really bad draw here for Kara. Skelly, what do you think about how far these teams can make it if they aren't even able to stay out of elimination for a little while, potentially?
Yeah, I think that they're set up well socially in what Ligori was saying, where they really have friends on opposite sides of the house that are either not going to want to throw Kara in, or they're not going to want to throw Marie in. So I think that is good for them. I think they're pretty set in terms of challenges, just, you know, in terms of Kara dragging Marie to the end. I am a little about Marie weighing them down on another purge potentially, but I think they're pretty pretty well set up physically and, you know, challenge wise. I am having a little bit of a hard time actually watching Kara for the first time in a couple seasons because Kyle has put her in such a weird position, which that's a little bit of, you know, off camera stuff has happened also, I think. But
yeah, that's been kind of cringy to watch the Kyle versus Kara with the whole Pauly thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, they tried to explain some of like what's been going on with that and why, you know, all that jealousy exists. But like, we still care for each other and we still have each other's best interests, that they've said like alone kind of to the camera kind of. So I don't know what's going on with that, but it's not a different storyline for Kara to be involved with a guy in the house or anything like that. It's just like, I don't really fully understand it, I guess. And I feel like we need, I feel like we need Pauly to come back to keep it going, because I want to see it keep going.
That's the thing, is I feel almost gross rooting for Pauly to come back, because I just feel like, even though this is the challenge and this is reality TV, and even though he is dressing it up as like, hey, I'm doing this as a strategic move, it just feels so ugly and out of bounds to me, the line that he's taking here with Brad and talking about how Brittany was sleeping with Chuck at the Redemption House just feels far beyond the game. And I never have ever thought anything close to along those lines in any season of Survivor or Big Brother, or frankly, the challenge that I can think of before this.
Oh yeah, it's a scummy move, but he's making his mark on the game, so yeah. I mean, I can't blame him for pulling the trigger on
and
that.
And actually, I realized to answer the question that I set you up with, as far as people who have done less, I guess we could say every single Fresh Meat season ever, they get set up with some pretty legendary partners. And actually, I was thinking earlier when we were talking about CT and Veronica or Victoria, heard it both ways, still unclear. Someone was saying, you know, people have done well despite pretty bad partners, and one of the most impressive performances I can ever remember was Landon just literally carrying Carly through the entire final. So maybe Cara Maria still has a shot here.
My problem with these two is just the fact that Marie tried to vote themselves in, and despite as much fun as I'm having watching the two of them, I'm just terrified that they are literally going to get in each other's way and somehow end up in an elimination because of that, and then we're going to lose all the fun we're having.
I feel like that would be the perfect way for them to wind up in an elimination. And actually, quick sidebar, this will shock no one, I actually really liked that impulse to vote for yourself if you don't think any other votes are coming for you. I mean, what better way is there to make sure that you don't go into the elimination, as far as not landing on the person who ends up with the majority and not being in the pool of people to be selected in the first place?
So you're going to tell me Marie did that on purpose?
I don't necessarily think she was thinking it through to that level, but I don't think she necessarily wasn't. And furthermore, just going down, you know, as the game continues, it wouldn't shock me over the course of this season to see someone actually do that and recognize the strategic merit in doing that, given that TJ announces which teams got votes on them. I don't think there's any reason to do it if you can get away with burning your vote and no one's ever even going to know that your vote basically didn't even count. But when TJ will tell every team that got at least one vote, hey, you got at least one vote, I think there is a lot of strategic merit in putting that vote on yourself.
Yeah, and when people do it for the second and third and fourth time, though, Marie's going to take credit and say, I was the first one to think of it.
I don't think she's crazy to take credit for that, even though it is Marie. And I don't think, you know, even if she wasn't doing it for necessarily what we would deem like the right reasons, I do think she is a pioneer here, Liguori.
I think you're still a little too hard on her. Every time that we talk about her, I feel like you're always like, I still don't know why she's here. I mean, I know we're not looking at the most physically intimidating player, but I feel like Marie's spot on this show is still hers because of how much work she puts in to be this like awful villain.
Yeah, I don't dislike Marie by any stretch. Like, I do value the things that she brings to the show, and I think she does a good job at what she's going for. I just will, for you know, until further notice, have a very hard time taking Marie or any team she's on, any partnership she's a part of, seriously as a serious like winner candidate.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. And another team actually that I've had a pretty difficult time really trying to get a sense of where they fit into things in the house and just within the bigger picture of like win equity, because it seems like on paper any male team would be a favorite in the most of the challenges that they run, but it seems like Nelson and Shane have done quite a bit to put the target onto themselves in the early goings here, and I wouldn't be at this point counting them among my favorites to win. Skelly, what do you think about Nelson and Shane to this point?
Like you said earlier about Johnny and Tony, if you could, you know, airdrop these two into the final, I actually think they would stand a pretty good chance.
Yeah,
I think Shane is great with running, swimming, all of that, and good at puzzles. Nelson can beast his way through any physical challenge that comes in front of him. So that's all great. But in terms of how many eliminations they're going to have to see to get there, I'm not as confident.
What do you think about Nelson and Shane here? Because I'm with Skelly. It's like you put it really well. If they were just wave a magic wand and they're running a final up a mountain, I would definitely be giving them some win equity. I just don't understand how they're going to be getting there.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally on board with what Skelly said. I don't know what it's going to take for Nelson to do well in a challenge. I don't know if he needs the right allies. I don't know if he's having a problem. I don't know what it is, but it's never worked for him, you know, like having the right people in the house. I mean, he's got Kaylee in there who he's trying to make something happen with, and it's weird, it's messy, it's uncomfortable. But meanwhile, you look at like Nelson's elimination record, he's like 7 out of 8. If what I have in my note here is the correct thing that I'm looking at, he's, you know, won 7 eliminations and he's only been an 8. That's crazy. So you would think that if they do get into the situation where they get thrown in, that there's a good chance that they'll do well. Shane, you know, isn't the best person in eliminations. I think he's won 1 before, but he's got Nelson by his side, so it's hard to count them out. But like you said, I agree that I don't think I'd have them very high in the rankings of like likelihood to win the game, let alone like, you know, make it another week or two before they eventually do get thrown in. So I don't know.
Have you at any point been captivated by the Nelson romance saga, Skelly?
No, it's one of the least interesting storylines for me.
Yeah.
And I want better for Nelson. I don't care about the storyline at all.
Right. What I want from Nelson is him being brashly overconfident entering every single season and every single challenge. And from time to time, he does get that win that he so desperately seeks in the daily main match, and he can take a shot at his target. But what I don't need out of Nelson is him trying to like grow as a person or anything along those lines. Get out of here with that. I want Nelson in there just really fired up, competing really hard, and for the most part, making a fool out of himself in the bigger picture of the season. But from time to time, getting kind of micro small wins. Brought up Wes in talking through, who did I call trash Wes earlier? Oh, Pauly. And I think Wes is probably far too high of a target for Nelson to be shooting for in terms of being the kind of leader of the rebellion. But I do think Nelson, when he's not being forced into these pretty honestly stupid storylines, does add a lot to the season.
I don't think anyone would really notice if he disappeared for a couple seasons. So I don't know if that's like disagreeing. That's probably disagreeing with what you're saying. But
no, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think if he went away for a couple seasons, no one would be going, oh, where the hell is Nelson? But then if he came back, I don't think people would be going, why the hell are they bringing Nelson back again? I think people would get it. They would give Nelson another chance.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just like, you know, the Corey thing, it's, you know, we got kind of exhausted from seeing that, especially when he just kept losing. And it's just kind of like, all right, well, if your game isn't progressing, if you're not doing better, and like, you know, even when he gets close to the end, like last season, he loses that purge challenge and disappeared at the very end. So it's like, I don't know what it's going to take to push Nelson over that hurdle that he just can't seem to get himself over. I don't know if he needs to take time away, if he needs to wait for like, you know, a season or two to go by where people are like, you know, making more vendettas with each other so that when he comes back, they want to link onto him because it's somebody that they know. He has some good relationships in there. Like he's there have been people in the past that are like, I don't want to throw Nelson in because I like him. And I just don't know what it's going to take for him. Maybe it's not having Shane by his side, considering Shane, like we said, is doing the whole, like, let me do the most for the TV time. I don't know.
Yeah. Shane, I feel like Nelson and Shane are kind of in similar camps for me where I wonder why both of them keep coming back and doing this when it seems like it's pretty obviously probably not going to go their way any random season. But who am I to tell them to stop doing it?
The TV and the money.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll keep eating it.
Right, yeah.
I would jump in to disagree. I think Nelson came in second on his first season. I think Nelson does have an outside chance of winning a season at some point.
Oh, yeah, Invasion. I mean, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a good call.
That feels like forever ago at this point.
Four whole seasons.
That is not just four seasons. Give me a break. That was 150 episodes ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it feels like forever ago.
Yeah. Well, maybe Nelson and his romantic pursuits were not the most captivating, at least to this point. We'll see how it plays out. I wonder what you guys thought of the new romantic interest for Johnny Bananas, Angela. It's Angela, not Faith, right? I want to make sure before it's Angela that is hooking up with Bananas. And it seems to be the rookie of the year, if that is going to be a trend that's developing, hooking up with Bananas. Skelly, what have you been making of that, that relationship and the potential legs that may or may not have?
I love Bananjala in that they're both fully aware that they're using each other for the game, and it's fun, and it's manipulative, and it is what it is. It's good for TV, and no one's getting hurt. It's just they're both benefiting from this.
No one's getting hurt. Did you see that pillow bashing? Someone's getting hurt.
Well, I would say, if anything, maybe Tarai from X on the Beach, her boyfriend at home, might be getting hurt. But otherwise, everyone involved on the show is doing well for themselves.
And just to continue the theme of like all these people that are doing the most for, because they know it's like their character and their role, when Angela's getting like pillows thrown at her and she turns it into like the biggest thing, the biggest blow up we've seen since like Camilla, I'm like, all right, Angela, like I get it. I know what you're doing, but wow, like that's a stretch.
Yeah, some early game theatrics. But hey, when you're one of these first time players, that is the correct move as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I begrudge you absolutely nothing for getting in as many fights as you can and hooking up with as many vets as you can. That is 100% the clear decision. You are playing any of your first few seasons for a chance to return. The idea of winning early on is should be for pretty much anyone just completely set aside. So in the case of Faith and Angela here, I don't think they are in there considering themselves a serious threat to win this season. I don't imagine either of you views them as a serious threat to win this season. But Ligori, what is the best case scenario here for Faith and Angela? How far can they end up making it through this season if they can kind of just hang back?
You know what? Not too far, honestly, because I feel like I feel like it had to be some kind of strategy that both of them have found, you know, a strong male in the house to link up with romantically. You know, Angela with Bananas and Faith has been with Kyle, which, you know, we haven't really talked about much, but it has been a big part of these first few episodes, Faith and Kyle. It just seems like they are going to have a vote each week, and unless they use their vote in a very strategic way each time, eventually they're going to vote for the person who's going in, and eventually that stronger team is going to pick them to go against, and they're going to end up in the Redemption House. So I feel like with this game format, it really doesn't help the teams like them who normally would be able to just slide by and, you know, be saved for later on as the layup.
Especially in rough weeks, I would imagine, where the wrong person wins the immunity and has a double vote, and some majority recognizes, okay, we're going to have to pile our votes on someone and just face the music. I can't imagine many teams looking like a more appealing prospect to say, okay, we'll put our votes on them, they'll pick whoever they want, and then our side is probably going to win that elimination. It feels like Faith and Angela have to be the clear number one pick on the board if that kind of situation comes up in any of these rounds going forward here. And with that in mind, I'm with you, Ligori. It seems like it's just a matter of time before Faith and Angela find themselves in an elimination and probably losing. Scally, anything else that you think is worth adding, or I guess anything on that Kyle and Faith relationship that you think we should get into?
No, just saying that I've been pleasantly surprised with the both of them. I mean, we saw in the ring collecting challenge, like the first main challenge, they did like much better than expected. One of the best in their heat, I believe.
Yeah.
So I think that, well, they're probably not going to, you know, they're good for the dailies, probably not great for the eliminations. I can see both of them doing, you know, just fine in future challenges, though.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you guys. I want to be clear. I'm sure I've not sounded like the biggest stan of Faith and Angela in terms of just projecting their future in the game, but I have been really impressed by both of these ladies as far as what they bring to the show. And you're right, they killed it in that first challenge, I guess, to use a TJ-ism to describe it. They really, really impressed me. And who knows, maybe they will show up in that eventual elimination and surprise us and end up taking someone out. They get the right competition. And that's all she wrote for Johnny Bananas and Tony. They ran into Faith and Angela, and that was the end of the game.
Yes, I think the Redemption House honestly is good for. It's going to be a great place for Faith and Angela to shine. So, you know, once they're out of the game itself and they can just sit back and comment on everything else, and Angela can have another pillow thrown at her head, and we can have a great Redemption House scene of those two. I think that's where they're going to shine. And, you know, if they do get brought back, it'll be because of whatever we see from them while they are there.
Yeah, and we have, I believe, just one team left on the board, unless I'm overlooking anyone, which is very possible. But the only team I still see out here is Tori and Scally, your boy, Derrick Henry, that you are a big-time fan of and believer in. They're still in the game, which I guess is not the worst thing in the world, and probably surprising at least some people, but obviously not making too much of a splash in any of these challenges with a couple of particularly bad performances to have already on their resume. What do we think about how this is going to wind up here for Tori and Derek, and how much longer they're going to be able to survive on this show?
I think Derek and Tori are probably another easy elimination pick. They could win one, maybe, but I think that once, if you're looking at, am I going to go against Zach and Amanda, or am I going to go against Tori and Derek? So I think they're going to get brought in there pretty soon, probably not winning any main, main challenges. But at least I will say Derek is bringing more to the show entertainment-wise for me this season than any other stint he has had.
Where?
The background. He's like the random, like he's like poking his head around corners to watch drama.
Oh my God. The guys poking their head out. What scene was that? That was okay. The funniest thing that I've seen on this show in so long.
Oh, that was Tony.
It was Bananas.
Really, poking their head around, or I forget who. But I will say, and even just having him as a human punching bag for Tori has been, you know, at least slightly entertaining.
True.
But if you were going to tell me who's bringing the least to the show, yes, I would say Derek. So am I thrilled with having Derek back? No. Am I going to make the best of it? I guess so.
It seems like Derek is back because they wanted Tori back, and that seemed like a reasonable partner for her.
Yeah, it's annoying to me that, you know, we had – we had Jenna come back after having a season off. Tori's back after having a season off. And it's like these two who I feel like MTV really wants to be building up. I mean, Jenna has always been being built up since she started, and she's still a fan favorite. And then you have Tori, who's like emerging as a big new fan favorite. And then, like, you know, I mean, Jemmy's great for television, but like in terms of being a competitor, kind of dead weight. And then you stick Tori with the definition of dead weight in Derek. And now it's like, all right, well, I'm glad we have Tori to at least, you know, fill in the confessional spot, you know, since Jemmy's not there to narrate the season. I'm glad we have Tori for that. But, you know, we're going to lose her sooner rather than later, I think, since she's tied to this guy.
I think these guys could be really good in the Redemption House, like another Chuck and Brittany kind of X's angle could provide for some interesting stuff as that second Redemption House starts to fill up. But yeah, I don't see a ton of reasons to be super optimistic about Derek and Tori as far as like their long-term prospects. Although good on Derek, I guess, credit to him for surviving past the first elimination of a show that he's participating on. So really knocking it out of the park, at least compared to his previous performances. Guys, I guess I want to, as I look through this cast, return to something that I brought up earlier, and now I'm going to be the one berating you this time around. I want to return to that 90% figure that I gave for Bananas and Tony and Brad and Kyle being the winner of this season. I would honestly say the other 10% of that equity, I would be giving pretty much all of that to Zach and Amanda, based between just the teams and the way that the season is being edited. I'm sure I would be giving Joss and Sylvia and Nelson and Shane a little more in real time, and probably maybe Cara. Marie's not winning a pair season. I can't give Cara any equity. I really want to ask you guys, if you're giving Bananas and Tony and Brad and Kyle only 40 or 60% of the equity, who is getting the rest of the winner equity for you? As far as Brian Scully, let's start with you and your ludicrous 40% figure that you gave.
I will agree that I forgot how many teams. I was looking through and I was like, oh, there's less teams here than I thought there were. But I will say, well, there's one part we have not talked about yet, which we found out a little bit more.
Yes. Yeah.
So that I will touch on in a second. But the three teams that you mentioned in Amanda and Zach, Joss and Sylvia, and Nelson and Shane were the three that are still in the game that I was looking at. In terms of what I just alluded to, there will be mercenaries coming in like the other seasons who will be fighting for an opportunity to get into the game. And both of those teams are at least fairly competent, probably one more so than the other. But those two teams that I know of, there could be more, but the two I know of are Corey and Devin will be coming in at some point, and Hunter and Ashley Mitchell. So
Is that Smashley?
That is.
Okay, yes. Good.
So I think that both of those teams have, you know, let's say they have a 50-50 shot blind at the elimination, then obviously that halves their equity, but I think they both are on the board.
Okay. That is definitely an interesting wrinkle. And with that in mind, you are right that 90% is absolutely insane by me, but I wasn't weighing that in when I was giving that figure, and I'm probably going to get mercilessly killed whenever that doesn't end up panning out. All right.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I feel like if we're worried about Ashley Mitchell and Hunter coming in to, you know, knock out the two teams that you just put at 90%, I feel like we don't need to worry about that. I understand Corey and Devin are someone to be a little worried about, but like, I don't know, is Devin ever making a final / is Corey ever winning another competition ever in his life? I don't know.
Devin made the final on his first career season. Yeah. # Team Princess.
Is Devin ever making another final is what I totally meant to say. I don't know.
I think Devin, I would take a bet right now that Devin, over the course of his career on the challenge, I'll take the over on 0.5 finals made by Devin at some point on his challenge career.
I just feel like every time he starts to do another run, he like falls behind every other guy, and then it's like, all right, well, there goes Devin again. And you make it seem like he made it to his first final in some like impressive feat of like physical dominance with him and Cheyenne.
Yeah, he was brought back after getting eliminated first.
Right.
It still counts.
And then like they completely like stumbled their way into that. So
they drew the lucky skull every time. I actually
Colin's just blinded by his Devin love, which we all are and we all should be, but I don't know. It's Devin.
Even with Devin, I'm ranking Corey pretty low in terms of winner equity. I have more faith in Devin to complete most parts of a final, just because Corey has his bad, I believe it's his calf that's bad. And we've seen he's not the greatest at the puzzles.
Yeah, he's hopeless at puzzles. He's confirmed trash at puzzles.
Oh, wait, you know what? I didn't even put it together the connection of like why those two, what those two have in common, Corey and Devin. Right? Cheyenne? No?
Oh, I didn't do the math on that either, but that is
interesting. I just put that together.
I think that that's, I don't know what who knows what the reasoning will be, and it was probably, you know, an Instagram comment war. But
some passive-aggressive congratulations after the baby was born.
I might give a percent higher to Hunter and Ashley, just in that Ashley has won a season. Hunter has, he's no slouch. He's, you know, a giant when he's, you know, up on his steroids. But I think, am I high on them winning the season? Probably not, but I would say that they're not out of it for me.
All right. Any other big predictions you guys want to put out there? I'm sure as the millions of episodes keep coming at us every Tuesday night, at some point over the course of the season, we'll check back in. But for now, what more do we want to be getting out there as far as challenge calls go?
Victoria will come back and win.
Thank you. We have not beaten that one to death yet.
You're right.
No, I didn't.
Isn't this like what we do on the Dom and Colin podcast?
Yeah, or
is
pretty much.
Something else.
Yeah. No, that one I'm fine to own. I'm happy to own that one. And I'm sure if she is on the next season somehow, come draft podcast time, that's going to be a lot of fun giving old Colin some flack for calling her Victoria again.
No, if we're already beating it to death at this one, we can't bring it up again. It'll come up.
It'll happen. But
I don't know. I overall been enjoying what we've been seeing. I think there's still potential. It's just, you know, I'm gonna complain about the fact that it is so drawn out, just because it seems like it's gonna go on forever. And as much as I love Challenge Tuesdays and I love, you know, getting the new episode and just seeing whatever they give us, because for some reason I'm just like so addicted to all of it right now. Like you said, it's been so good for lately, and you know, some reality TV has been taking a little bit of a dip, but I feel like the challenge has been on the rise, so I've been enjoying it. And even if it finishes at Christmas, I'm happy with the season, and hopefully it stays good.
Excellent. All right, Brian Scally, where can people be finding you on Twitter, or I don't know, are you an Instagram guy, or wherever else? Where do you want people to be getting at you, if anywhere?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess. I would say, you know, I'm on both at Brian_Scally. So I'm on both Twitter and Instagram there. Definitely posting more frequently on Twitter.
Going viral every single day on Twitter with the hashtag BB20Takes, and you, Ligori, as well, tweeting a lot about BB20 and doing some coverage over on RHAP. What do you have going on, and where can people be checking that out?
Yeah, all the Big Brother 20 stuff, which has been an amazing season, and you guys should be very angry with both Dom and Colin for skipping out on this season, because there's been so much going on, and the fact that they are not covering it because of Colin's whatever resentment he has towards Big Brother. It's a shame. I'm very upset that Colin is out on it. No, what do you mean it's fake news? You're not watching it. So hopefully Colin catches up someday so that he can keep an eye on these Big Brother people who inevitably will end up on a future challenge season. But yeah, on Twitter, at Matt Ligori, doing some stuff for the morning updates here and there and whatnot. So check that out if you are interested, if you have not been.
Yeah, and I am on Twitter at Colin Stone. You're right, I am not watching or tweeting about BB20 right now, although I'm very happy to hear that it is off to such a great start, and I guess they're like, you know, a month and a half into it at this point, and it's still been very solid, and I certainly wish nothing but the best for Big Brother by any stretch. Matt Ligori, don't paint me with that kind of brush. I don't know, I think that's pretty much going to do it for this episode of the challenge coverage. I'm sure, as I said, that at some point later on this season, we'll be back back soon enough, talking through the state of the game at that point, and then maybe, as you laid out, LaGorry, right around Christmas we can come and talk about how everything wrapped up. But until then, thank you guys for making it this far. You can email the show, domandcolin@gmail.com, if you want anything you want to say to us, any other recommendations for shows like this that we might like and want to check out and potentially cover, hit us up on there. We'll talk to you guys very soon. Take care, everybody.